Hi, this is Martha with Animal World's tips for summer, which realistically are probably better labeled summer warnings and precautions. Now, you can't really argue with the fact that summer is a great time of year. With the warm weather and longer days, we spend a lot more time outdoors, and for many of us, much of that time is spent in the garden. Well, if you love your garden and there are animals in your family, there are a few things to be aware of. Most of us know that fertilizers, weed killers, pesticides, and insecticides can be very toxic for our dogs and cats. Fortunately, these days, there are many safe, non-toxic alternatives that are actually better for our environment as well as our animal friends. I hope you'll take the time to find and use them. Hopefully, you also know that traditional slug baits, especially the powdered stuff, is not only highly toxic and will kill dogs and cats, it is also very attractive to them. Slug bait tastes like candy to our dog and cat friends, and most will work hard to get to it. So please be very careful about using and storing it, or better yet, don't even buy that stuff. Now, something you may not know, and I say that because I didn't know until recently, there is a cocoa mulch being sold in our area at familiar stores that is very toxic to animals. It contains theobromine, the same chemical found in chocolate that is poison to dogs and cats. Now, maybe you know about all these things already and would never keep them around your house or use them in your yard. But what about your neighbors? Because you never know what others are doing, I recommend you do not allow your dogs off-leash to run through neighbors' yards as you walk through the neighborhood. Not only is keeping them on-leash the right thing to do, it also could save their life. Another potential poison for our animal friends is antifreeze. It also tastes like candy to them, and they are highly attracted to it, and unfortunately, it kills quickly. So if you do your own radiator servicing, please be careful handling the antifreeze. After draining, dispose of the contents immediately and responsibly. If you spill any, clean it up right away. Better yet, don't mess with the bad stuff. Spend a little more and use the safe, non-toxic antifreeze. Another summer FYI, mostly for your cat friends, especially those that like to chew on plants. You probably know that some houseplants are toxic, but did you know that some flowers are too? Unfortunate but true, one of my personal favorites comes to mind, lilies. I have them in the yard, but not in my house. If you want more information or a list of toxic plants and flowers, the ASPCA website at www.aspca.org is where to get it. Also, in case of emergency, write this number down, the ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center, 888-426-4435. That's 888-426-4435. Write it down and post it someplace prominent. Finally, what we love the most about summer, the sun, is probably the biggest potential hazard for our animals, especially our dogs. Heat prostration or heat stroke takes the lives of many dogs every summer because their humans aren't thinking. Because dogs have a higher body temperature to begin with and cannot sweat off heat like humans, they can seriously overheat much faster than you might think. On a 70-degree day, a car left in the sun, even with windows partially open, can reach a deadly temperature for a dog in only 10 minutes. So my general rule of thumb during the summer, unless you are sure you can park undercover or in the shade, leave the dog at home. Remember, the sun moves, so just because you park in the shade does not mean the car will remain shaded. You will need to check on the car and dog frequently. I suggest every 10 minutes. Now, there may be times that you have no choice but to take your dog with you in the car during hot weather. If that's the case, be wise and be prepared. Take water and a bowl with you, a leash and collar so you can take the dog with you if necessary when you leave the car. And just in case you can't take the dog with you, say you're going into a restaurant, have a crate along. There are collapsible models for easy storage in the car. You can crate the dog in the shade outside of the car. Dogs and other animals can also overheat in a house if they're confined in front of a window and the sun comes through. So pay attention on this one if you're confining a puppy or caring for an elderly, sick, or convalescing animal. Sadly, I had a client years ago that left a paralyzed dog resting comfortably in front of a closed sliding glass door. When the sun came out, the dog could not move away from the window, and when the owner came home, the dog was dead. Please don't let this happen to one of your animal friends, and remember the same is true for birds, small caged animals, and fish. Also, avoid overexerting your animal in hot weather. Exercise is fine when taken in moderation, but obesity, old age, underlying disease, and previous bouts of heat stroke can predispose an animal to the condition. And remember, some dogs don't know when to quit, so you may need to be the wise one and stop the game for rest and cooling off periods. I hope you never need this information, but if you ever find a dog in an overheating situation, here are the important things to do and remember. Be careful and remember to breathe and stay as calm as possible when you handle the animal, especially if they do not know you, as they may be in shock and could bite. Cool them down as soon as possible. Get them into a cooler, well-ventilated area if available. You can put them into a stream or a lake or a bathtub of cool water. Hose them down or soak towels in cold water to lay over them. The biggest danger is the brain overheating, so if resources are limited, put a cold, wet towel on their head first. Call your vet or emergency clinic to let them know you're on the way and get your animal friend there for treatment as soon as possible. Pet owners can be held criminally liable for committing cruelty to animals if a pet dies or is found suffering from heat prostration. If you see an animal that may be in need of assistance, or if you have questions about this kind of situation, you can call the Seattle Animal Shelter at 206-386-PETS. That's 206-386-PETS. Okay, that's it, I hope, what you need to know to keep your animal friends safe this summer. Stay with me now, because Animal World will be right back.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk. I want to welcome you to the second hour of our Sea Fair Sunday edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. Woohoo! Summer is here in the great Pacific Northwest. Make sure you take care of your animal friends and put on that sunscreen if you go out in the sun, you and your animal friends. All right, before I get back to animals in the news, I want to remind you that it is the first Sunday of August, and the first Sunday means it's Behavior Training and Healing Sunday with me. And I am, if you don't know, I'm an animal behavior therapist and trainer. This is what I do to earn a living. So I'm happy to help you with your animal friends and answer any behavior training and healing questions you have. I'm not a veterinarian, but I spent 20 years in veterinary medicine, and I know a lot. But so I can help guide you. At any rate, if you have a behavior training or healing question, you want to comment on something we've talked about on the air related to animals or something else animal related on your mind, you can call me at 425-373-5527, 425-373-5527. Remember, we have not done the missing link word of the day yet, so we haven't given away our missing link plot prize. So you want to keep these numbers handy and keep listening. 425-373-5527, toll free 888-298-5569. That's 1-888-298-5569. And to begin with here, I've got a follow-up email from Peg. We're going to fleas and birds here. And Peg said, I would have to say no to Fleego simply because I don't know. You can't guess on a question like this. Birds are too sensitive. Wrong guess, you have a dead bird. Okay, and that is so true. And so many small animals are so sensitive. It's reminding me of a very sad story that I had, and that I used to have house rabbits. I've had a number in my lifetime when I was younger, and I had the last one I had was a little lop-eared black bunny named Mindy, and cute as a bug. And when we moved to the house in Kirkland that on Bridal Trails State Park, you know, I had horses and dogs and cats and Mindy the mini lop. Her main cage was in the breezeway of the house. Meaning the breezeway, it was off the family room and had a back door, had a door out to the back property and so forth. And she was often in the house running around, but when, you know, she wasn't being supervised with one of us, she was in her cage out in the breezeway. Well, I had horses at that time, and I would blanket them in the winter and had just washed their blankets, and I had been advised to Scotch guard the blankets. You know, spray Scotch guard on them to, you know, keep them from getting dirty and water and waterproof and all that kind of stuff. So I thought I was being really wise, and I took the blankets and I went way back to the back end of the property and had it over an acre of land. And so I probably went, you know, like 100 feet away from the house to the back of the property and sprayed these, because I didn't want it to be around the horses. I didn't want it to be around the dogs and the cats or anybody. And I sprayed these blankets out by the fence in the back. When I got done, I came back, and I came back in through the back door. It was, you know, it was summer. It was warm. You know, I was getting ready for winter sort of thing, and the doors were open, and came in to realize that that Scotch guard had wafted from the way back of the property all the way up to the house and was sucked in through the breezeway, and the instant it went, you know, through Mindy's cage, she went into anaphylactic shock and died. And of course, you know, being a vet tech, I knew, you know, I mean, I was there in a heartbeat, had her out there. I did little bunny CPR and all of that, but it was, you know, she was gone. And so that's what Peg means. Birds are too sensitive. They're like little bunny rabbits. You know, it's like the canary in the mine. They're too sensitive. And wrong guess, you have a dead bird or you have a dead bunny or what, you know, you just can't mess around. So now, here Peg's email continues. Suggestions. First suggestion, listen to Martha. Well, hey, I like that suggestion, except I don't have all the answers. But anyway, she says, my experience, if fleas land in this house, Pershing, that's her bulldog, came back from boarding facility with them. He is taken directly to remote dog wash multiple times until I can't find any fleas with flea comb over a several-week period. Al Pleckner, that's Dr. Al Pleckner, recommends Head and Shoulders, but I think almost any regular shampoo works. And I agree with that. You don't have to shampoo your animals with a flea-killing shampoo. All you do when you suds up your dog and you wash them, or if you're doing your cats, we better go and how do you bathe for fleas? Okay, here's the deal. As soon as the animal gets wet, guess what the fleas are going to do? They're going to run to the head to get out of the water, okay? So the first thing you do is wet the animal down and then suds up the neck, okay? Because that way, when the fleas run to the head, they can't get there because you've already sudsed up, you know, the neck. So that's the first thing. And then you suds them all up, and any soap, baby shampoo, will kill fleas if they're in it long enough. So you just have to leave the shampoo on them all sudsed up, for 3 to 5 minutes. Now, here's the other really important stuff. Do not leave them unsupervised and sudsed up, because some animals will lick off the suds. And some shampoos are toxic and can make the animal sick, especially insecticidal shampoos and so forth. but I don't recommend insecticidal shampoos. Use a mild shampoo and just leave them sit in the suds for 3 to 5 minutes, but supervise. Supervise, supervise, supervise. Okay, there's your bath lesson. All righty, let's see. What did I say? Al Pluckner recommends Head and Shoulders, but I think almost any regular shampoo works. I drown them. Vacuum. Other than that, I haven't had a flea problem here. Okay, so that's how Peg handles it. It's also good, but I think in Vicky or whoever it was that sent the email. Who was that from? Renee. Whoever sent that, Renee. It sounds like there's already an infestation in the house. So just bathing the animals regularly may not be enough to deal with it. And if it were my house and I had roommates, she said the big problem was the roommate won't clean up their room enough for me to be able to vacuum. Well, see, I just say, clean up your room, because if it's not clean by this time tomorrow, I'm going in there and I'm picking up everything. Because I've got a vacuum and all of that. And everything that's on the floor is going in a box and get flea sprayed outside or something. I wouldn't put up with that. But I don't know what you can do in the term. Anyway, Peg goes on to say, also, good suggestion to call Avian Vet. Des Moines Veterinary Hospital, Dr. Onorati would be a good choice, as that practice handles everything, so birds, dogs, cats, exotics. So that's Des Moines Veterinary Hospital, Dr. Onorati, O-N-O-R-A-T-I, O-N-O-R-A-T-I, Des Moines Veterinary Hospital. This question has to come up frequently, and they likely have a standard recommendation. That's what I figured. So there you go.
May I make a recommendation?
Of course.
I found a product called, and it has neem oil in it, mm-hmm. which repels fleas as mm-hmm. well, mm-hmm. As well as it's really good for the coat and the skin. I'm afraid of using regular shampoo that'll dry out the skin and cause problems, itching and...
Well, the deal with shampooing, ideally you don't want to do it more than once a month with a dog, but show dogs are bathed all the time. And mm-hmm. the key is, and what I learned when I was showing dogs, you use a mild shampoo and you cream rinse them, just like you do with humans. But you're right, dogs are not designed to be bathed all the time. But you can use a mild shampoo and you can cream rinse. But the natural herbal flea sprays are excellent for killing fleas. And that's what I recommend and would use on my own dog. I had a dog, don't have a dog right now, but that's what I would, you know, Annie Golden, and I would use that. The question, though, see, is we've got birds in the environment. Mm-hmm. So even though it's all natural and is fine for the dogs or the cat, is it okay for the bird to inhale? Or what if the bird's a friend with the dog and, you know, and pulls on their hair or something? Mm. We don't know the answer to that. So, yes, they're fine for the dog, but we need to know about the bird. So that's the big question. Does that make sense?
Call the vet.
Call the vet. The bird vet.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, are we good on that? Believe that we are. Okay. All right, now I've marked this... Animals in the news business to save, because we're doing Robin and Martha Sunday next Sunday. That's where we tune into things, find out what's going on. And there's just an article about Alaskans wondering where the king salmon have gone. Apparently, there's a real shortage of king salmon up in Alaska. And those that, you know, store a lot of salmon for the winter are having to go to other types of salmon that have less of fat and oils and all of that, and there's a big issue up there. And I have my sense of what's going on, but I figured that's a good subject for us to tune into and find out what's going on with the salmon. And here's another one along those same lines. This was interesting. Lobstermen report increase in rare colored crustaceans. And this is an interesting article out of Portland, Maine. A 100-pound shipment of lobsters contained 6 orange lobsters. The guy that unloaded them thought that they had been cooked, but they hadn't been. They were alive and well. And it apparently live lobsters
are like a brownish green color. And then, you know, they turn that pinky orange when you cook them. But there's now an increase in bright blue, orange, yellow, calico, and even white, and sometimes split, one color on one side and one on another. And this is just kind of interesting. They don't really know why. And, of course, it's a logical, you know, it's an easy assumption to say, oh, well, it's got to do with ocean pollution and all that sort of stuff. But listen to this, all the surmising. This is why I'm putting it in the Robin and Martha pile so we can tune in. It could simply be because advances in technology make it easier to spread the word about bizarre lobster sightings. It's also likely more weird lobsters are being caught because the overall harvest has soared. In Maine, the catch has grown fourfold in the last 20 years to nearly 150 million pounds last year. If the yield has quadrupled, it would make sense to have four times as many unconventional lobsters being caught.
God bless me.
Bless you.
Thank you. Are we seeing more because the Twitter sphere is active and people get excited about colorful lobsters? Is it because we've actually seeing an upswing in them? Is it just that we're catching more lobsters or we have the opportunity to see more? Lobsters come in a variety of colors because of genetic variations. It's been written that the odds of, you know, listen to this, the odds of catching a blue lobster are 1 in 2 million, orange 1 in 10 million, yellow, orange, and black calico lobsters 1 in 30 million, and split colors 1 in 50 million, and white are 1 in 100 million chance.
Wait a minute. I saw blue lobsters yesterday at an Asian store.
Right.
A huge amount of them.
And it says 1 in a 2 million chance. No, what blue, yeah. Blue lobsters, 1 in 2 million. But you saw a whole bunch of them?
Oh, yes. I'd say at least 25 to 50.
Blue lobsters.
Yeah, they were like blue stripes in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there's a picture in this news article of an orange one, a blue one, and a calico one. Okay, well, that's going in the save pile, so we might as well see what we can find out about colored lobsters. And there's another one going in the save pile, blue bird flu caught by seals, concerns researchers. And I'm not even going to go into details about that. I'm just putting it in the save pile because I don't want to cause everybody to worry about something that isn't a problem. So we'll put that in next week's pile. Okay. You know what that means? That means that's all the yucky news or the questionable news. And that leaves us with the best good news about animals. Oops, sorry, you guys, if you don't want more sunshine, but here it comes. I happen to be happy with the sunshine and the warmth right now. Woohoo! Yeah! Woohoo! Ooh! I think so. Okay. All right, now this interesting. I had this last week, but I let it go because in lieu of time. And a wonderful story. Now, this was in the Seattle Times, Beauties of the Night. Moths are every bit as lovely as butterflies and more diverse, say experts. They hope to spread the word with an online guide to the Northwest's other flutterers. And it's about a couple of scientists. And their new online site all about moths. And apparently covering 1,200 of the largest moth species. And the all of the hoopla about moths now has led to the designation of this week as being the first National Moth Week. That was last week. How about that? A National Moth Week. Okay. So, anyway, they're optimistic that this will help. They are citizen scientists and will help improve that citizen scientists will help improve the site with their discoveries. So they want to hear from you if you find unusual moths. And so I thought you might want to check this out. They had some really beautiful pictures of moths. The one down, the hard part for me is that I really love moths. I have a special relationship with moths, and I save them a lot. But when you find one that's really cool, you know, they stick a pin in it, put it on a board. Well, I guess they don't live that long anyway, but I'd rather just watch them fly around myself. Okay, so anyway, here is the info. The Western Washington University Moth Guide is PNWMOTHS, MOTHS, .BIOL, .WWU, .EDU. So PNWMOTHS.BIOL.WWU.EDU. And if you want to know anything about National Moth Week, it's nationalmothweek.org. So anyway, if you want to learn all about all kinds of moths, check it out. Thought that's kind of cool. Okay. All right, now here's something. Well, I think this is good. Seattle Portland zoos help save endangered turtles. And it's a story about some of the kids that were helping release these turtles into the wild. And they did it last week in the Columbia River Gorge. By the end of the day, 28 turtles had been placed into the natural habitat on the Washington side of the Columbia River near Beacon Rock. That brought the year's total to 48, part of an ongoing program to boost the numbers of a species that was on the brink of disappearing just two decades ago. And this effort is led by the Oregon Zoo in Portland and Seattle's Woodland Park Zoo. They pluck hatchling turtles from the wild, then rear them for 11 months in the safe confines of captivity with controlled summer-like conditions year-round. And then once they're ready, they release them. Now, listen to this. When the recovery plan started in the 1990s, there were fewer than 100 western pond turtles in the Columbia River Gorge. According to wildlife officials, now that number is close to 1,500. It says the turtle recovery, and part of the reason that the numbers tanked so badly was because of dams, and then with all with the dams and all of that, then the little baby turtles were getting eaten by. Who is it said that the wetlands, bullfrogs were eating the baby turtles? So dams and bullfrogs were eating all the, dealing with all the turtles. It says the turtle recovery program has produced good results. Previous studies have shown survival rates among reintroduced turtles have 90% survival rate. And that's partly why zoo and wildlife officials are reluctant to publish the exact location of the released turtles to keep people from disturbing, removing, or otherwise harming them. It's been a tremendous success story. It's not often that you can say that. So, good for you, Seattle and Portland zoos. And there's a balance there. Like to be able to say something good about the zoo when they do something good. I just wish they'd do something good with the elephants. And I do have an elephant. Speaking of that, the elephants in Toronto Zoo that are being moved to the Performing Animal Welfare Society Sanctuary in California. Unfortunately, their trip had to be delayed due to the extreme heat, which is understandable. And the trip will start with a one-hour truck ride from the zoo to the airport, and then the elephants will go on a Russian cargo jet and be flown to San Francisco. And then the trucks will then take them to the retirement home in San Andreas. They hope to be able to move them now by the end of September, but it's just too hot to move them now, which makes sense. It's a stressful trip anyway. Why complicate it with the heat? So I agree with that, and hopefully they'll be able to move safely in September. Okay, now this is controversy. I'm going to save this one, too. Did you hear about the cigarette-smoking orangutan? Okay. Smoking orangutan gets new home at zoo. Tori, a 15-year-old, and there's a picture here. She's a 15-year-old, and this is out of Jakarta, Indonesia. Indonesian zookeepers have moved an orangutan out of visitors' sight so she'll no longer smoke lit cigarettes people regularly throw into her cage. They moved her Wednesday to a small island inside the zoo. There are four endangered orangutans at the zoo. The 15-year-old Tori has been smoking for a decade. And she mimics humans by holding cigarettes casually between her fingers while visitors watch and photograph her puffing away and flicking ashes on the ground. Now, okay, so first of all, I'm saying, what took them 10 years to put a stop to this?
Wasn't Jakarta also where they had the like 2-year-old or 3-year-old smoking cigarettes last year?
I don't know. The little child, maybe.
Indonesia, I'm pretty sure.
Is that where it was? I remember. I can see the picture of that right. Little boy. So maybe, yeah, they have a different thing. But
that's just awful.
But it says the medical expert said that the tests show the four primates are in good condition. And the other two orangutans will be moved later to another island. But so I'm thinking, okay, they let this go on for 10 years. You know what it's like. I know what it's like because I was a smoker for much longer than that. And I knew how difficult it was to quit. And I know how comfortable it was to quit. So I'm thinking, they just move her to some place where she can't get cigarettes anymore, and she's got to go cold turkey. And this is, I have some real mixed feelings about this. Not that I think that they should continue to let her smoke, but I'm just wondering how the orangutan is doing. So I'm putting this in the Robin and Martha pile so we can, you know, tune in to this orangutan, see how she's doing.
I'd like to know.
See if there's anything we can do to help this girl.
Oh, poor little girl needs the nicotine patch.
Well, yeah, you know.
Wean her off of that.
Well, and to get her up on that Facebook page that we were talking about last week.
That's right. I was thinking that too, Mike.
Oh, Christine, are you listening?
Right.
Hey, Christine. Well, in that case, we better put the salmon
in
Alaska.
Let's get the king salmon on there,
King
too.
Salmon on there. We'll get the elephants in Toronto. Whoa, yeah. Christine, are you listening? The elephants in Toronto, because they got to wait till September to go to the sanctuary. The smoking orangutan in Jakarta, Indonesia. Whoa, yeah. This is important. All right, let's also put the cats in Peru. This was an interesting article. Cats find haven in posh Peru Park, a corner of Central Park of Lima's upscale seaside. Miraflores district is a cat's meow. About 120 felines populate the sidewalks and grass, lounge in the streets, and shelter behind the grates of the Church of the Miraculous Virgin, where they are fed by volunteers. Tourists pose for pictures with the cats, which are generally friendly. And there's a lovely picture here of all these cats and, you know, some women petting and being... But apparently, not everybody likes the cats. And, of course, you know, they're not wild about the excrement and that sort of thing. And so now they've formed a 12-member group of people taking care of the cats, and they are finding homes for some of them, gathering adoptions to sterilize them and treat them for parasites. But they got featured on TV, which then Peru's environmental health agency is now involved and said there'll be a commission would be created to determine whether the felines pose a health risk. So, bless me. Must be allergic to sunshine or something.
Or rosemary.
Oh, yeah, rosemary's in here. It smells lovely, actually, though. But anyway, you got to wonder, once the government officials get involved, if the cats will still be safe. So that would be a good one to put up the website, too.
Well, they're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Now, here's a wonderful story. This was sent in by a listener. And don't think I've covered this before, but I don't think this is all that new. I think this has been going on for a while, but there was just a write-up about it. Do y'all know about that Sheriff Joe of Arpaio, Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Phoenix, Arapahoe County.
Arapahoe.
Yeah, he's a real piece of work.
Yeah, he's the one that painted the jail cells pink and makes the inmates wear pink prison garb and all that sort of stuff. Well, listen to this. And this is why a listener sent it to me. Maricopa County was spending approximately $18 million a year on stray animals like cats and dogs. Sheriff Joe offered to take the department over. The animal shelters are now all staffed and operated by prisoners. They feed and care for the strays. Every animal in his care is taken out and walked twice daily. He now has prisoners who are experts in animal nutrition and behavior. They give great classes for anyone who'd like to adopt an animal. He has literally taken stray dogs off the street, given them to the care of prisoners, and had them placed in dog shows. The best part? His budget for the entire department is now under $3 million. It says, Teresa and I adopted a Weimaraner from a Maricopa County shelter 2 years ago. He was neutered and current on all shots and great health, and even had a microchip inserted the day we got him. It only cost us $78. The prisoners get the benefit of about 28 cents an hour for working, but most would work for free just to get out of their cells for the day. Most of his budget is for utilities, building maintenance, etc. He pays the prisoners out of the fees collected for adopted animals.
Well, Sheriff Joe is notorious for not being very community or minority friendly, so I'm pleased that he's actually doing something.
That's why I did that, because everything, you know, I've read a lot that, you know, the guy is, he shaped some stuff up, but, you know, he doesn't have a great reputation for what he did. But so,
yeah, this is nice.
That's why I did that in good news. I thought, well, let's bring a little balance. The guy's doing something good for the animals. That's
Sheriff
cool.
Joe gets a shout out.
So if they're all wearing pink boxers while they're taking care of the dogs and cats, I guess that's okay.
I don't think the dogs and cats mind one bit.
Yeah, because he's the one, there's a state law that says the prisoners had to have cable TV. And so he begrudgingly brought in cable TV, but he only plays the Disney Channel and the Weather Channel. And he says, well, why do you pay the Weather Channel? He says, because I want him to know how hot it's going to be when they're out working on the chain gangs. Well, you know, you gotta know that there's something to what he's saying. Okay, now, next two stories, the last two stories here in Good News, I've included them. And we're assuming they're good news. Okay, we're gonna consider them good news this week.
Okay.
Okay, but we're gonna save them for Robin and Martha next week, and then we'll get into the underlying. Rare white lion cubs born in Mexico. Two cubs of the world's most endangered species are being hand reared at a Mexican zoo. The albino cubs were born in Laurel Animal Park on Friday. They were removed from first-time mother Noombi and put in an indoor den after she failed to immediately breastfeed her cubs. Zookeepers at the animal park are working around the clock to feed the young felines every 2 hours. At 5 days old, the two cubs have very distinct personalities. Mm-hmm. One is restless all the time, wants to climb, wants to jump on top, biting, licking. She's real active and eats a lot. The other is more sleepy and calm and gets angry when her sister disturbs her. Zookeepers will continue to hand feed the cubs until they are 3 months old before they move to chicken and red meat. Originally South African in origin, the Mexican-born cubs were born to white tigers, especially imported into the Latin American country. Loro, L-O-R-O, Loro Zoo has been instrumental in helping preserve the endangered species with a specialist breeding program to save the endangered big cats.
Oh, where do I sign up?
Well, you see, now remember, I've got a question. We're assuming this is good news.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming they're breeding an endangered big cat. Now, I assume they mean by endangered big cat, they're talking about the white tiger. Mm-hmm. Not positive, but let's see here. Quote, in the case of white lions, the male lion has been in the park for 3 years and the female lion 2 years and 3 months. They're from South Africa. So apparently the zoo must breed other big cats as well. It says, in South Africa, we will only find this species in very specific reserves as their color prevents their natural hiding techniques from hunters. Remember that the animals depend on their color as a camouflage in the environment to evade being hunted. The white lions can be easily seen and rarely survive in the natural environment. The white lion native to Timbavati region of South Africa was seen in the wild in 1994, after which they were technically extinct outside captivity, decimated by poaching and loss of habitat. Well, to see, remember that the animals depend on cover as a camouflage and in the environment to evade being hunted. The white lion can easily be seen and rarely survive in natural environment. Hmm. All right, so does that mean, Mother Nature, that this is a freak of nature, the gene, and we get the albino lion? And are we serving a higher good by breeding them? Because obviously they've got to stay in captivity, so they can't live in the wild as they are intended and all that kind of stuff. So, like I said, this week, it's in good news because we're going to assume the best. Next week, we're going to talk to the lions and find out. Okay. Now, I'm giving this the winning position in the best good news about animals. But we will reserve. We'll tune in next week. Okay. Kabang, that's K-A-B-A-N-G. Hero dog who lost her snout, saving two girls to be treated in U.S. hospital. Thanks to the generosity of animal welfare groups and individual welfare well-wishers, a hero dog from the Philippines, whose face was destroyed in a horrific accident early this year, will soon be flown to the United States for reconstructive surgery. This past February, the dog named Kabang, Spotty and Visayan, was hailed a hero after she threw herself in the path of a speeding motorcycle, saving the life of two young girls. The motorcycle had been speeding on a motor highway in the Philippines when cousins, 11 and 3 years old, stepped into its path. At that moment, Kabang emerged from nowhere and jumped in front of the motorcycle, stopping it in its tracks. The young girls stumbled and sustained bruises, but were otherwise unhurt. The driver of the motorcycle was similarly unharmed. Unfortunately, the brave dog wasn't so lucky. Kabang's head landed on the motorcycle's front wheel, and as it rolled forward, her upper snout got stuck in it and was ripped off. Now, the picture is just unbelievable. This dog has a lower jaw, but no upper jaw. Now, fortunately, it's not a head-on shot, so you can't really see the damage. But anyway, witnesses said the girls had not been aware of the oncoming vehicle and would have sustained serious injury had the dog not intervened. Kabang's owner and one of the girls' father, who was working at a nearby shop when the accident occurred, said he was filled with awe and then horror when he saw the family dog saving the life of his daughter and niece. Okay, let's see. So they say now, according a local vet asked the family if they would be willing to euthanize the dog, but they refused. It does not matter. She's ugly now. What is important to us is she saved our children, and we cannot thank her enough for that. Though her injuries were severe, the plucky dog was back on her feet before long and within months became pregnant. Obviously wasn't spayed. However, veterinarians say she's not out of the woods yet. the more time that goes by, the more risk of infection, and that the wounds need to be closed. So due to the complexity of the wounds, her best chance is recovery is surgery in the United States. But with a daily income of about $3.50, the family have been unable to afford the high cost of the dog's treatment. Thankfully, many individual well-wishers and animal welfare organizations, Animal Welfare Coalition specifically, have stepped forward and started raising money for the hero pup. She's become a superstar. People are coming to have their photos taken with the dog. Some come with medicines and vitamins. And even coming with, have some people have donated money and clothes to the family. We are so grateful. We did not ask for those things, but still we are thankful. And then they haven't raised quite enough money yet. But once they do, the dog will be treated at the Veterinary Medical Teaching Hospital at the University of California, Davis. And they say the total cost of the treatment and travel is estimated around $20,000. Hmm. Okay, so the good news is the dog saved the kids. And the dog's alive, even though deformed and has a problem. And the good news is that people have stepped up. So I'm saying, well, and if it, in this kind of a situation, if they have that much money, why doesn't the University of California just do it? That would be one. But the other thing is, too, with this severe deformity, I'd like to hear from the vets. I mean, can they really do? They're going to have to do a process. I don't know what they're going to do. Can the dog be effectively treated so that there's a quality of life and the dog isn't going to end up suffering and all of that? And how on earth is the dog eating and all that sort of thing? But anyway,
I'd like to hear from the dog.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. So we're going to say it's good news this week, but we're putting it in the Robin and Martha pile for next week.
Getting to be a pretty big pile.
It is.
We got a lot of stuff to go over next week.
We do. All right. So you guys are going to have to keep us on track. We'll have to keep Bob out of the kitchen.
Now, you know he's listening, and he's purposely going to do the dishes right as we come on. At least that, if I were Bob, that's what I'd do.
Well,
just for the ribbing.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's hope that Bob's not you or whatever. We'll have to tell him that. Okay, and looking at the time, it is time once again to take care of our advertisers and sponsors. It is the most important part of the show. Without them, there is no us. So be sure you listen, pay attention, support them, thank them, and all that good stuff. And Animal World continues. Current events is next right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Visit Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Avenue in Marysville. You can give them a call at 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage's exciting new Vashon Island location. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including T-Touch, flower essences, aromatherapy, and manual ligament therapy, plus massage for canines and small and large animal certification. Visit online at nwsam.com for registration details and to enroll online. For more information, call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 206-463-1425. That's 206-463-1425. Or check them out on Facebook.
This is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and let me tell you about Robin Alexis. She's an animal communicator, gifted past life reader, medium, ghost whisperer, healer, and more. When you call into her radio show, Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis, or when you call her for your one-on-one phone session, she listens to what your metaphysical concerns are. She can clear and rebalance your energy, plus she uses all of her eclectic psychic skills to assist you in reaching your full potential in life. I like and trust Robin so much that I work with her on a one-on-one basis regularly. Plus, I have her as a guest on my radio show, Animal World, monthly. To listen to her show, Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis, and to schedule a one-on-one phone session with her, visit robinalexis.com. That's robinalexis.com, or call her for one-on-one phone sessions at 530-859-2499. That's 530-859-2499.
Does your dog experience bad breath or gas? Does your cat spit up hairballs? Try Optigest. Optigest is a natural formula of digestive enzymes and the prebiotic FOS. Even pets with a healthy diet can experience digestive upset due to diet change, separation, or the normal aging process. Optigest works fast and has no inactive ingredients. Optigest supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Ask for Optigest at your natural pet store today.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Get a grip on life with Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all. Martha Norwalk here. Thanks for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And woohoo, we're going to do current events in just a moment here, but we've got some emails here hot off the presses. And the first one is from Christine. She is listening. She said, I missed the part of the elephants. Please send where I can get the information to post. She said, orangutans and the cats in Peru. Posted with ruby red rays sent out. Thanks for the information. So, Christine, the elephant article, heat delays elephant's flight. It was a little article in the Seattle Times, I believe. Was it the Times? No, in the Everett Herald. In the Everett Herald, it is where I got the article. It's an Associated Press article. So if you Google Associated Press and heat delays animals' flight, it's out of San Andreas, California. The elephants are in the Toronto Zoo, and the city council voted to send them to the Performing Animal Welfare Society Sanctuary in California, and their flight has been delayed because of the heat, so they probably can't make the trip until September sometime. So I just thought extra healing for those animal, those elephants, especially for their flight, would be warranted. So thank you, Christine, for checking in. And then Mike was right. Robin and Bob must be, or at least Robin's listening, because here's an email from Robin. She says, this is what I just posted on my website. And that is what Martha Norwalk is talking about now. She was talking about the dog that lost his face when he saved the two girls, the story I just did. She said, this is the second story I've heard about pets saving owners. Friday, I took our cat Rumi to the vet. I told him about how Bob and I were walking up to Panther Meadows Wednesday night at dusk, and we came upon a mountain lion cub. We backed up and left that trail. The vet told me that he had a man come in that had been in his backyard with his cat. All of a sudden, a mountain lion came out of nowhere. The pet cat attacked the mountain lion. The man started screaming and flailing his arms. The mountain lion did run away. The man brought his cat to the vet, who had severe damage to the cat's hind leg. He said to the vet, quote, "Do whatever it takes to heal him. He just saved my life." So how cool is that? Animals saving humans. So, anyway, obviously Robin didn't comment on what Kabang, the dog, had to say. But I actually have to say, when I tune into the energy of the dog's picture in the paper, I don't have a good feeling about the energy of the face, but the dog's energy feels strong. And anyway, so it's going to be interesting to tune in and see what the dog has to say. And whether or not this can be healed adequately. But and certainly if all the answers to all of that is yes, then let's get the university, the vet school at Davis to step up, and they can afford to do that. I mean, what a great teaching opportunity, for heaven's sakes. They don't need to earn any more, raise any more funds. Let's just get it done. Okay. It's time for current events. At the top of the list, I've got, of course, summer heat precautions and the information from the Humane Society, because they did have info that I don't have in my summer tip that we ran at 10 o'clock. You can listen to that in the archives, of course, or go to www.seattlehumane.org to get their summer heat precautions. And, okay, here's new. We got a super adoption event coming up August 11th and 12th. That would be next weekend, and it's at PetSmart and Union Gap from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. So that's Saturday and Sunday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Boy, that's a long day. Super adoption event at PetSmart Union Gap. Over 200 dogs and cats, activities, games, and demos. More information at Positive, P-A-W-S, positivealliance.org. More events on the Positive Alliance agenda, August 18th, Positive Futures 2013 kickoff, POTY. I love the way they spell POTY, P-A-W-T-Y, not POTY, POTY, P-A-W-T-Y. September 9th, Bow Wow Meow Luau adoption event and POTY at Denny's Pet World in Kirkland. So mark your calendars. Tickets are now available for the 15th Annual Black Cat Ball, benefiting Perfect Pals, October 27th, www.perfectpals.org. Registration's open for the Walk for the Animals to benefit Seattle Humane Society at the U Village Fido Fest on September 23rd. And remember the benefit barbecue and auction for the Macaw Rescue and Sanctuary in Carnation. That sounds like a great place to see, and you can't go for tours during the year. This is your only chance. So that's August 25th at 1 p.m., $20 in advance, 25 day of, $10 for children, tickets at Brown Paper Bag, or email macawsanctuary@gmail.com. Posado Safe Havens Bark at Marymore Park is Sunday, August 19th, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. The walk starts at noon. And then Meow Cat Rescue has got their annual fundraiser, Fine Wines and Felines, August 25th. www.meowcatrescue.org. And, oh gosh, I forgot to write it down, but the All-Breed Equine Rescue Golf Tournament got postponed till September, but I forget the new date. I'm going to have to find that out. Okay. All right. So that pretty much covers current events, except to tell you that next week is second Sunday of the month, Robin and Martha Sunday, gifted Mount Shasta Mystic. Robin Alexis will join me, and we're going to tune into all these stories we talked about. Plus, remember, now we will take your email questions about your animal friends. And if they're of general interest, we will answer them on the air. So if you've got if there are specific animal situations you'd like us to tune into, you can email us about that, or you can email specific questions about your animal friends. And you send those emails either to animalworldlive@hotmail.com or send them to me at my home office. You can go to MarthaNorwalk.com and click on Contact Martha, or send to Martha Light, L-I-G-H-T, at AOL.com. Going to wrap up this hour. Turn it right around. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.